two loud raps followed by two more. It was the same knock I had heard before. The woman gasped.
"You've got to get out of here,"
she said, in a voice that was unmistakably Kumiko's.
"If you go now, you can still pass through the wall."
I had no idea if what I was thinking was right or wrong, but I knew that as long as I was here, I had to defeat this thing. This was the war that I would have to fight.
"I'm not running away this time," I said to Kumiko. "I'm going to take you home."
I put my glass on the floor, put my woolen hat on, and took the bat from between my knees. Then I started slowly for the door. 35. Just a real knife. The thing that had been prophesied. Lighting my way along the floor and keeping my steps soundless, I moved towards the door. The bat was in my right hand. I was still walking when the knocks came again. Two knocks, then two more. Harder this time and more violent. I pressed myself against the side wall where I would be hidden by the door when it opened. There I waited, keeping my breath in check. When the sound of the knocks faded, a deep silence descended over everything again, as if nothing had happened. But I could feel the presence of someone on the other side of the door. This someone was standing there the way I was, keeping his breath in check and listening, trying to hear the sound of breathing or the beating of a heart, or to read the movement of a thought. I tried to keep my breath from agitating the surrounding air. "I am not here," I told myself. "I am not here. I am not anywhere." The key turned in the lock. He performed each movement with the utmost caution, drawing out the time it took to perform any one act so that the sounds involved would become isolated from each other, their meaning lost. The doorknob turned, and this was followed by the almost imperceptible sound of hinges rotating. The contractions of my heart began to speed up. I tried to quell the disturbance this caused, but without success. Someone came into the room, sending ripples through the air. I made a conscious effort to sharpen each of my five senses and caught the faint smell of a foreign body, a strange mixture of thick clothing, suppressed breathing, and overwrought nerves steeped in silence. Did he have the knife in his hand? I had to assume that he did. I remembered its vivid white gleam. Holding my breath, obliterating my presence, I tightened my grip on the bat. Once inside, the someone closed the door and locked it. Then he stood there, back to the door, watching and waiting. My hands on the bat were drenched with sweat. I would have liked to wipe my palms on my trousers, but the slightest movement could have had fatal results. I brought to mind the sculpture that had stood in the garden of the abandoned Miyawaki house. In order to obliterate my presence here, I made myself one with that image of a bird. There, in the sun-drenched summer garden, I was the sculpture of a bird, frozen in space, glaring at the sky. The someone had brought his own torch. He switched it on, and its straight, narrow beam cut through the darkness. The light was not strong. It came from the same kind of pen light I was carrying. I waited for the beam to pass me as he walked into the room, but he made no effort to move. The light began to pick out items in the room, one after another. The flowers in the vase, the silver tray lying on the table, giving off its sensual gleam, the sofa, the floor lamp. It swung past my nose and came to rest on the floor a few inches beyond the tips of my shoes, licking every corner of the room like the tongue of a snake. I waited for what felt like an eternity. Fear and tension drilled into my consciousness with intense pain. "No thinking. You are not allowed to think," I told myself. "You are not allowed to use your imagination." Lieutenant Mamiya had said that in his letter. "Imagining things here can be fatal." Finally, the torch beam began to move forward slowly, very slowly. The man seemed to be heading for the inner room. I tightened my grip on the bat. It was then I noticed that the sweat of my hands had dried. If anything, my hands were now too dry. The man took one slow step forward, then stopped, then one more. He seemed to be checking his footing. He was closer to me than ever now. I took a breath and held it. Two more steps, and he would be where I wanted him. Two more steps, and I would be able to put an end to this walking nightmare.
But then, without warning, the light disappeared. Total darkness swallowed everything again.